I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural
disasters, and eventually the end of the world. Are you serious? Welcome to the Are You Serious Weekend Edition. I'm here with Jeff Deal and Diana Brown, both looking lovely.
Oh, you flatter you.
And don't forget to tune in to our live streamed broadcasts of Neophiles and the Are You Serious show, which you can find by going to mondoglobo.net/neophiles or areyouseriousradio.com every Sunday at 2 p.m. Michel Foucault believed that the ideals of the Enlightenment and the idea that everybody should be included in the good society created what he called the carceral society, a tendency to incarcerate people. Good old liberalism. Society gets formalized, punishment gets formalized, and incarceration various forms of punishment become an expression of that. So the Socratic dialogue for today, if you will, is what do we think about crime and punishment, and is it ever okay to stick a human being in a cage?
I have a question about that fact that you just stated about Foucault.
Call him Fucko.
Fucko. Are you saying that our model of incarceration actually came from his ideas, or did he rationalize it after the fact?
No, he rationalized it long after the fact, but he tried to show that the emergence of Western civilization and those ideals tended to, first of all, rope everybody into society, take all those silent areas and free areas or crazy, fucked up warlord areas and all rope them into a system, and within that system, you know, to create certain modes of behavior that were acceptable, and it has a tendency to institutionalize lots of people as a result, and not just in prisons, but he focused a lot on mental institutions as well.
Yes.
I'm saying that, like, any society, complex society would probably maybe have corrective functions that develop naturally?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you probably explore people like Steven Pinker and evolutionary psychology, they would probably argue with Foucault and probably be able to show that, you know, human beings, there are about 20 things that human beings always do, and one of them is probably locking people up in prison. So, I mean, you know, Foucault might have been way off base there. But, I mean, it does seem like we here in the United States have a tendency to throw people in cages, and we seem to take it pretty casually in a lot of ways.
We seem to exhibit a certain bipolar tendency in this as a society, right? Because, like, on the one hand, we love our violent movies and we love our violent video games and we love violence. Damn it, we love war. And then on the other hand, we really love to violate free speech and keep people from seeing certain things that are considered violent, or we like
for
to control
good,
we like to try to control guns, and really, it's it seems a little bit pathological.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a thing for punishment these days.
I think
forcing people into rehab is kind of another end of this tendency. We've turned this sort of big mommy thing of for your own good.
But I like the way you kind of phrased this whole thing. Like, do we need punishment?
Or is it okay to lock people inside cages? And that's an interesting question. That, you know, I don't know. I guess I was asked this question a few years back when I was doing political stuff, and I mean, I kind of said yes. You know, there are a few people, you know,
that damn well ought to be locked up.
And Richard Pryor used to have a joke. Yeah, I went to see the brothers at Attica. You know, it was like, thank God for Attica.
Well, there's something to be said. I mean, if you didn't have that forced incarceration thing, you'd have to have, there would be some method for correcting, you know, within relationships of people, and it would therefore, I mean, you probably might have to allow for vigilanteism.
Yeah,
on
you
some
probably,
level, you know,
you probably
direct.
Just tend to kill people who became intolerable.
Well, and by you, but you know, who's the you? I guess
was
is the other
pretty
question.
Much the case before genteel right. society, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Freud would say, you know, the psychological reality of punishment, that concept, if somebody does something to you, you want retribution.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you could say that, like, you know, if you were exposed to a certain amount of ill treatment as a child, you need to therefore deliver that to someone else when you become an adult. It's like a psychological thing.
We hand it over to the state, and I guess, I mean, I sort of accept that, except in the death penalty, and I don't know why I make that boundary. It's kind of like, you know, it comes to the death penalty, I say, well, whatever this person does, you don't want to give the power, state the power to kill people.
Sure.
But I don't know why I create that.
I know, I do the
boundary.
Same thing. I think it may be partly because we're, you know, we're all maybe frightened of being wrongfully accused.
Well, and the system fucks up so much, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, but, I mean, I guess it also is a lingering maybe hope that people can be rehabilitated as long as they're alive, but if they're dead, they can't, you know. They can't be rehabilitated or found innocent, you know.
If they're gone.
Yeah.
But they sure as hell can't.
So are you a hell for leather, eye for eye kind of person, are you?
In my personal life, yes. But,
So if someone steals your stash.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all over.
Well, that's natural. But I mean, really, if you don't engage in punishment or embrace it, what are the alternatives?
Yeah, well, I'd imagine, and probably all parents throughout all ages probably use punishment on kids just as sort of a natural human response to getting really irritated.
Is it natural, though?
Getting really irritated.
Well, for instance,
off.
You know, societies of bonobo chimps have very little violence against each other. And the way that they deal with social conflict
is banishment?
Is sex.
Really?
So
you're suggesting that parents who are pissed off at their kids should have sex with them.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm
saying. A punitive gangbang will solve all ills? Is that where we're going?
I knew that's where we're going with it.
No, we're being glib, but that's really fascinating.
Different species have different ways of dealing with things. But
keep in mind that the other types of chimps, traditional... Yeah. Chimp species have been used as models of why all societies are aggressive, because those guys, they're cannibals and they're warlike and they solve all of their social conflicts with violence and pretty much. Yeah. But you know, it's just this idea of there's a certain amount of tension between people in a society and what's done with that tension.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested to find any archaeological examples or anthropological examples, I'm sorry, of societies that don't use punishment on in some way. Well, let's move on to politics. Debating the continuation... speaking of crimes, the continuation of the Iraq War is being debated, and the Bushies have tried to reframe the issue around the idea that the Democrats are trying to, quote, micromanage the war. They're very effective at reframing.
They really are.
George Lakoff is always advising the Democrats about reframing, and the Republicans just... kick ass, you know, as far as reframing shit. Anyway, the implication here seems to be that the military should make policy, it seems. I don't know. What do we make of this? Are we still in charge of the military? Is the military in charge of us? Should we just...
you're not the boss of me.
I don't know about this whole argument. I mean, the military itself is a hierarchy. Every officer has a boss that he listens to.
But
I guess the point is the president is the ultimate boss of the military.
Right.
Just because he's politically... he's voted into office, ostensibly.
Right.
doesn't mean that, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I think his argument is sound. Basically, it is micromanagement if anybody other than the commander in chief, the boss of the military, second guess what the military is doing. I mean,
I guess the argument would be that this kind of micromanagement is macro micromanagement when you're talking about spending, you know, large sums of money and sending large amounts of people. It's not so much a strategy as an escalation.
Right. And to argue against myself, which I love to do, it's also the case that, you know, the separation of powers and checks and balances means that the president himself is also supposed to take orders from other parts of the government. Right. So if the Congress were to step in and say, well, although they are kind of stepping over the president's commander-in-chief role, I think.
Maybe a certain segment of the American population would like to have the military more in power. I remember polls in the 1980s, and this may still be true. The military is the only institution that the American people had positive things to say about.
Remember Katrina?
Yeah.
The only group that people had positive things to say about in Katrina was when the military came in and got shit
true.
Done. And they said they were efficient. And
yeah, I remember when we talked to that.
And it was terrible because then they started.
Bar?
Yeah, right. And they started, but then after that, they started all this talk about, well, maybe in any natural disaster, we it's just instantly turn it into a police state and turn it into
martial law basically.
Martial law in order to make things go better, and that's kind of scary, but. Yeah, they know how to get shit done. I mean,
they do seem to function pretty well, and people I've known are in the military always seem to be pretty together.
And polite.
And polite, that's true. Yeah,
it's really true.
It's kind of like this the tendency to say, oh, hey, vote for me. I have achieved such great things in business, and therefore I'd be a great politician because I can get things done. But,
run the
business,
government like a business.
Yeah, like a business, because what does a business do? It just makes a profit. Mm. You don't necessarily want to run the government like that.
Not really the option we're looking for, is it? Well, I mean, I don't want someone in the... I don't want a sergeant or a colonel in the field that's having to make a decision about his troops' life to have to pick up a phone and call someone and say, well, do you think we ought to defend ourselves or what? Obviously, it's not
that. Or they should call
point.
Our producer, Jeff Deal.
Yeah, just call me.
I don't know what to do.
Love's the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?